Good evening, Belfast, and welcome to Live and Local on Belfast Community Radio. This is your program of music recorded live in Waldo County, Maine. Tonight we're featuring a concert by the Penn Bay Singers. It's a concert of holiday music and the story of Scrooge, Marley, and that whole fun-loving gang, otherwise known as Dickens' Christmas Carol. The concert was recorded on December 15th at the Catholic Church on Court Street. The singers were directed by Richard Dosti and accompanied by Linnea Johnson. Again, this is the holiday concert of the Penobscot Bay Singers.
He was a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, clutching, covetous old sinner and the sole proprietor of the firm Scrooge and Marley. Marley was as dead as a doornail, but Scrooge had never bothered to have old Marley's name painted out from the sign above the warehouse door. No one ever stopped to greet Scrooge on the street. He was as self-contained and solitary as an oyster. Once upon a time, on a bleak, biting, foggy Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat in his counting house. The door of Scrooge's office was open that he might keep an eye upon Bob Cratchit, his clerk, who was copying letters in his dismal little cell. Scrooge had a very small fire, but the clerk's fire was so tiny it looked like one coal. So Cratchit was trying to warm himself at the candle.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you, cried a cheerful voice. Scrooge's nephew had just come through the office door.
Bah, said Scrooge. Humbug.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. You don't mean that, I'm sure.
I do. What right have you to be merry at Christmas? You're poor enough.
What right have you to be so dismal? You're rich enough.
Bah, humbug.
Don't be cross, Uncle.
Merry Christmas. What's Christmas to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer? If I could work my will, every idiot who goes around with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Uncle!
Nephew, keep your Christmas in your way and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it.
Leave me alone, then. Much good Christmas may do you, or has ever done you.
I have always thought of Christmas as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. And though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I say, God bless it. Scrooge's clerk involuntarily applauded the nephew's retort.
Let me hear another word from you, Cratchit, and you will keep your Christmas by losing your situation.
Don't be angry, Uncle. Come, dine with us tomorrow.
Scrooge declined this invitation, using every expression of disdain he could conjure.
But why, Uncle?
Why did you get married?
Because I fell in love.
That's the only thing more ridiculous than Merry Christmas. Good afternoon.
I want nothing from you. Cannot we be friends?
Good afternoon.
Very well. I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. So, a Merry Christmas, Uncle, said the nephew, and as he turned to leave, the clerk wished him Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Good afternoon. A Merry Christmas. I'll retire to Bedlam. Ago this very night.
Well, at this festive season, Mr. Scrooge, it is desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor and destitute who suffer greatly at the present time.
Are there no prisons?
Plenty of prisons.
And the union workhouses, are they still in operation?
They are. Still, I wish I could say they were not.
I'm very glad to hear it.
But they scarcely furnish cheer of mind and body to those in need. A few of us are endeavoring to raise funds to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. What shall I put you down for?
Nothing.
You wish to remain anonymous?
I wish to be left alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. I help support the prisons and the workhouses. They cost enough. Those who are badly off must go there.
Many can't go there, and many would rather die.
If they would rather die, they had better do it and decrease the surplus population. Good afternoon. Scrooge dismounted from his stool and admitted the fact to the expectant clerk, who instantly snuffed his candle out and put on his hat. You'll want all day tomorrow, I suppose.
It's quite convenient, sir.
Well, it's not convenient, and it's not fair. If I was to stop a half a crown for it, you'd think yourself ill-used, I'll be bound. And yet, you don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work.
Well, it's only once a year, sir.
A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. Be here all the earlier the next morning.
The clerk promised he would, as Scrooge stalked out the door. The office was closed in a twinkling, and the clerk ran home as fast as he could that Christmas Eve to play blind man's buff with his wife and children.
Scrooge took his melancholy dinner in his melancholy tavern, read all the newspapers, beguiled the rest of the evening with his banker's book, and went home to his rooms. He lived in a gloomy suite of an old, dreary building once belonging to his deceased partner.
Now, it is a fact that there was nothing at all peculiar about the knocker on the door, and that Scrooge had seen it every night and morning during his whole residence in the place, and he had hardly bestowed a thought upon Marley since his partner's death.
Yet Scrooge, having put his key in the lock of the door, saw not a knocker, but Marley's face.
It looked at Scrooge as Marley used to look, but with ghostly spectacles turned up on its ghostly forehead. The eyes were wide open and motionless. That and its livid color made it horrible to look upon.
Yet Scrooge looked fixedly at the phenomenon, and as he did so, it changed back into a knocker. Startled, Scrooge felt his veins constrict, but he put his hand upon the key, turned it sturdily, walked into the building and lighted his candle and said, "Bah, humbug," and closed the door with a bang.
The sound resounded throughout the house like thunder.
Scrooge took the dark stairs to his rooms, not caring a button for that. Darkness is cheap, and Scrooge liked it. Scrooge closed the door and double-locked himself in, which was not his custom. He put on his dressing gown, slippers, and nightcap and sat down before the fire to take his gruel. Having finished, he looked up. It was with great astonishment and dread that he saw the bell above the door begin to swing to and fro.
It swung so softly it scarcely made a sound, but soon it rang loudly, and so did every bell in the house. By a clanking noise deep down below, as if some person were dragging a heavy chain over the casks of wine in the cellar. The cellar door flew open with a booming sound.
Scrooge heard a noise much louder on the floors below, then coming up the stairs and straight towards his door. "It's humbug still! I won't believe it!"
When he came through the heavy door and passed into the room before Scrooge's eyes, his color changed.
"The same face, the very same. I know it's him. It's Marley's ghost."
The body was transparent. The chain was clasped about its middle. It was long and wound around the apparition like a tail, and was made of cash boxes, keys, padlocks, and heavy purses wrought of steel.
Scrooge looked the phantom through and through as it stood before him, and though he felt the chilling influence of its death-cold eyes, and marked the folded kerchief about his neck and chin, he was incredulous, still incredulous, and fought his senses. "How now?" said Scrooge caustically. "What do you want with me?"
"Much," croaked the specter.
"Marley's voice, no doubt about it," thought Scrooge. "Who are you?"
"Ask me who I was."
"Who were you then?"
"In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley." "You don't believe in me."
"I don't."
"Why do you doubt your senses?"
"Because a little thing affects them. You might be an undigested piece of beef, a blot of mustard or crumb of cheese, a fragment of underdone potato. There's more of gravy than grave about you, whatever you are.
The spirit raised a frightful cry and shook its chain with such an appalling noise that Scrooge held tight to his chair to save himself from falling into a swoon. The phantom then took off the bandage round its head. Scrooge fell upon his knees and clasped his hands before his face in terror.
Mercy! Dreadful apparition! Why do you trouble me?
Do you believe in me or not?
I do, but why do spirits walk the earth?
It is required that the spirit within everyone be doomed to wander through the world among their fellow beings if, in its life, that spirit did not go forth in goodwill among them. And woe is me, for I must now witness what I cannot share, but might have shared on earth, and turned to happiness, had I so chosen. Oh!
Why are you fettered in chains?
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link, yard by yard, of my own free will, as you have done yourself.
Scrooge's trembling became unbearable.
The weight and length of the coil you bear was full as heavy and as long as this. 7 Christmases ago, you have labored on it since. It is a ponderous chain.
Oh, Jacob, tell me no more. Speak comfort to me, Jacob Marley.
I have none to give. I cannot rest. I cannot stay. I cannot linger anywhere. Mark me. In life, my spirit never roved beyond the limits of our money-changing hole. No space of regret can make amends for a life misused. Such was I. Oh, such was I!
But you were always a good man of business, Jacob.
Oh, business! Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business. It is at this time of the rolling year I suffer most. His horrible cry echoed through the building.
Scrooge began to quake and shiver most exceedingly.
Hear me! My time is nearly gone. As part of my penance, I am here to warn you, Ebenezer, that you have yet a chance and hope of escaping my fate. You will be haunted by 3 spirits.
Is that the chance of hope you mentioned?
It is. Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path that I tread. Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls 1.
Couldn't I take them all at once and have it over, Jacob?
Expect the 2nd on the next night at the same hour. The 3rd upon the following night when the last stroke of 12 has ceased to vibrate. Look to see me no more, Ebenezer. And with that, the apparition, dragging its chains, backed away and disappeared through the window behind him. Scrooge looked out, and the air was filled with moaning phantoms, which faded into mist. He turned and went straight to bed, falling asleep in an instant.
You are listening to the holiday concert of the Penobscot Bay Singers, recorded December 15th, 2019, at the Catholic Church. We'll be back in a moment with part 2 of the concert.